Welcome to Cut the Bull, an insightful podcast which addresses the news of the day and the cultural issues plaguing our society, bringing logic and context to these topics and discussing solutions too real for mainstream pundits. Now, here are your hosts, Charles Love and Wilfred Riley.
Hello and welcome to Cut the Bull. I am Charles Love alongside my co-host Wilfred Riley, and there's no guest here this week. This is the second time, but this was a little different. This is our, I didn't tell Will, this is our New Year's Eve episode, and though it may or may not air on New Year's Eve, it will air somewhere around there. So, you know, I'll be celebrating the new year coming in and having a toast at the end of the episode to my co-host Will and others. And Will, good to see you.
Good to see you too. Always good to be on the air with you, Big Chuck. How's life going?
Everything is good. You see, I'm in a different spot. I'm down in Charleston, South Carolina, spending the new year and Christmas here and, you know, taking a bit of a break, winding down. And so this is a good thing to sit here with you and go back over 23, both the guest and the year of craziness and get your thoughts on what you remember most and what you think about that and what you expect for 24. And I think before I even get into that, I'm going to start off with a little crazy rant and get your opinion, because you posted some stuff, you know, kind of ancillary to it, and you're always pretty thought-provoking on these, I guess, complicated issues. So I was told to write something and I didn't, because I didn't want to come off as a white supremacist, right-wing, evangelical nut job. But, and I'm not big on the war on Christmas. So since we're talking about the holidays, I've had some interesting conversations and debates about the way people approach it. And you know we've had enough conversations. We've had plenty of Jews and atheists on the show. So I'm not trying to push anyone's religion in any particular way, but I find it odd that, you know, it says something to me in the culture when even people who celebrate the holiday won't say what the holiday is, which is one thing. And another thing is that in many cases where it's kind of like governmental and you have to kind of acknowledge holidays, they say every holiday, except this one, I call it the holiday that shall not be named. So I had a meeting with my son's principal. And we were talking about all kinds of things, and it came up because, keep in mind, I've talked about my son's school before. It's an international school, people from all over the world. He comes home as a little Black American kid, talking about every holiday, which is cool. It stretches him. He needs to know that. But I find it odd that through school, he talks about Chinese New Year, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hanukkah, Diwali. They even celebrate in school. In New York, they're closed for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Ramadan. And then when Christmas comes, they say the holiday. Right. And so I'm like, well, why not say it? So they sent him something home and it said, you know, and I've never heard the two. I've heard happy holidays and I've heard Merry Christmas, but never happy holidays if you celebrate, and have a happy new year in all caps like the holiday. So I'm just like, really? Do we have to do this? Then I got into a debate with this centrist educator because someone was making fun of Kamala and her husband standing in front of a Christmas tree, not saying Christmas. Like, well, but you're standing in front of a tree, what is the tree for? And then later on, she talked about her Christmas dinner. And, you know, people make it seem like you're making a big deal about Christmas. It just seems odd that no one will say it. Why will no one say it, Will?
Well, I think this is part of wokeness in general. I mean, so I recently wrote a book, you know, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, where I talk about colonialism for a chapter. And I mean, we interviewed Bruce Gilley on the podcast. I mean, I talk about the goods and the bads. But one of the points I make is that when people talk about colonialism, they only ever mean white people. And they don't mean like ancient Romans either. They mean like Britain from 1850 on, like from the time we adopted the moral code that leftists can now use to exploit us. Like that's what they mean. And obviously, if you actually look at, you know, colonial history, that you've got Ottoman and Mongol and Persian and so on. And many of these people, and amusingly, beat the whites pretty easily. I mean, Genghis Khan almost conquered the world. I think syphilis stopped him. You know, so, but it's only one thing can be criticized, because only one thing is the big bad, and that's modern Western society. And this is a weird poison that's been injected into our bloodstream by Karl Marx, Foucault, some other people. And it's the same thing here. I mean, so if you say we're going to celebrate the holidays, there's going to be an automatic preference for what seem like edgy, unique minority events over dull old Christmas and Thanksgiving. And I mean, like, if you actually look at most of these events, I mean, like, Diwali is the festival of lights, but as I recall, also celebrates some great Indian military victories, like, you know, the bonfires burned for weeks and all this sort of thing. But no one actually, no, like, second grade teacher is unpacking that and saying, well, okay, like, Ramadan, there's a lot to like and dislike about Islam. I mean, Ramadan is a situation where followers of what you might consider a rival religious faith tradition don't eat for them. I mean, it's not the healthiest thing in the world in a lot of ways, but no one's really unpacking that and saying, well, okay, these other great peoples have their advantages and their disadvantages. The goal of all this, like, happy holidays and then that one day is to kind of critique what we have going on right now. I don't take it all that seriously. I mean, it's like when white people claim to be oppressed. Like, I get it right now. Like, the law mildly discriminates against you. But, like, you know, you won the war in the past. So, like, on average, you guys have $100,000 more wealth than we do. And you and I are both doing pretty well. Like, shut up. You know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. It's the same thing with this. Like, I mean, if you walk down the street in Chicago or New York, any of the big cities, they're going to be, like, dancing Santas hustling you for money and, like, people dressed like Jesus preaching, and Macy's is going to have two blocks of windows. So, I mean, it's not like people don't know it's Christmas. But the reason you can't critique something as notable as a major Islamic holiday is just basically it's not Western, it's not white. That's what this all comes down to. Last sentence, but it's not very hard to unpack this once you realize that. That, like, you, what you have here is a transference of the Marxist model, like, rich man always bad. But just with rich man replaced by other bullshit. So it's like man with penis always bad, you know, because now there are other types of men, you know, but like white man always bad. So, like, who do you pick in a complex situation like the Jews versus the Muslims for, you know, the Middle East resources? Whoever's left white. It's the dumbest possible way of looking at things.
Right. And I guess the reason I didn't say much about it, but the funny thing about it is you're right. It's just like the wokeism or the left arguments or whatever topic you want to talk about, in that not only are they arguing in a situation where it doesn't make sense and it's illogical, but to their credit, they can argue about the item in a way that you look weird when you know, argue against what they're saying. Right. So you can say that they're, you know, that women and men, there's a clear difference between the two. And then when you try to say it, it's like, well, what are you trying to say? Are you trying to say that you don't want to treat everyone the same? So they make you look bad. So you start just saying, hey, but can't we just say the holiday like we say all the other holidays? Just say the name of it. Oh, so why is it such a big deal? Why do you care? We leave people alone. I thought you were freedom guy. And people should be free to do whatever they want to do. Yeah, but, you know, that's what I said to the woman. She was like, you know, we had had an argument, a discussion before about something in school. And I'm like, well, why are you doing this? And they said, well, it's not either or, it's both and. And my argument was, my challenge, which worked, was, but it's not both and, because you're not doing any of the other things. This is the only thing you're doing. So it's not really that it's a big deal. It's just, you know, which is why I say, yeah, you talk about it. It's like, well, you're making it a big deal. It just seems so silly and arbitrary. And they don't really believe it, is what I'm saying, you know, because then they go and then they celebrate it, which is odd. But, you know, it's just, I know it's, you know, you kind of got to just let people do what they do. But it just seems so odd that you know, the blatant way that, especially in school, that they're just saying, hey, or even companies that send out these emails for every holiday. And then they don't say anything about that. But, you know, like you say, I don't care what you celebrate what you want. But as long as it's a federal holiday, which I will mark that they're going to try to challenge it soon, it's kind of hard for a government official to not say the holiday that's a federal holiday.
Yeah, I mean, for me, though, like, I don't think the war on Christmas is necessarily a huge deal. Like I said, it's kind of like the war on white people or the war on, like, upper middle class black people or whatever. Like, Christians are going to make it through. That's 65% of the country numbers are building. Might go to church myself next weekend. You know what I mean? Like, well, I guess I actually have to keep going through the holidays, but after that, that's the real challenge. But anyway, so, you know, I got relatives and true believers. But I mean, the point of all this, though, is, aside from a gentleman's conventional duty to the most popular public religion, I don't think this is necessarily a huge deal, but you're right to find it annoying because it's not unintentional. And the kind of, like, psychology that you're talking about here is actually something that really aggravates the shit out of me, because it's constant. It's a trick. If you've ever been through, like, a Psych 300 class, that we learn to do in potentially therapeutic settings or when interviewing clients or whatever throughout the social sciences, where someone will describe something that's obviously real. The classic example is men with cocks in like teenage girls' locker rooms. Like that's mm-hmm. where this is really going on right now, like trans acceptance in places like all ages wise. And the response that trans activists have learned to use is, why does that bother you? And why are you looking at her penis? And that leads you into this whole side conversation about like, who's wrong? Is it creepy to look too much in the locker room? Should all males have to wear towels? Like you just get into this chaff spitting contest that goes on for like 20 minutes. And you're ignoring the fact that, yes, of course, to 95% of men and women offline. Yes, it is weird to, as an adult male, walk around small kids with an erect penis. People would kick your ass for doing that in any neighborhood that you, I, or anyone else who hosts on this podcast grew up in. I mean, it's absolutely strange and bizarre. Once you get caught up in these rhetorical tricks, you find yourself defending like each stage of the logical debate. Like, so what is a man? And you're moving further and further away from the actual topic. So yes, of course, it is bizarre that we don't celebrate Christmas, but we formally celebrate Diwali in the New York City public schools. That's absolutely crazy. There are far more Black and Italian and Assyrian and so on Christians in New York City than there are practicing Hindus. Right. Many Indians are atheists. I mean, it's not even close.
Right. And to that, you know, so we've had an interesting year. We'll get to that. Some of the guests, some changes. We lost our dear Shamika and had some people coming in. And we have another voice joining us now. So I'll bring her in and get her views on this in the past. So Christy, let's see. Oh, it looked like she's there, but no care. Maybe she went away because I had her waiting. No. I see she's coming off mute.
Yeah, she's logging in right now.
Hey.
Hey, Christy. How are you?
Hey, good. Christy.
Merry Christmas. That's why see it's not like you're in the background and you can hear our conversation. I started off on a rant of people that saying Christmas, but not in the, you know, war on Christmas mode of everybody should be saying, because that's the other thing, Will, I didn't mention that. It's not that I get it in normal life. It's not like when I walk down the street. I mean, you get some happy holidays. It's no big deal. You get some Merry Christmas. No big deal. I am challenging the people in certain positions, school, government, or whatever, who just kind of act like the federal holiday wasn't there. So that's what you're coming into, Chris. Christy, me talking about the fact that people, even those who celebrate Christmas, weren't even saying Christmas. So I'll get off my high horse there, unless you want to comment on that. But yeah, I'm glad that you're here. You know, you've been joining us on many episodes. So I guess I want to start off with just asking you, since you're popping up here, your thoughts on the year that was, you know, interesting stories, things that you remember, things that were important, things that stuck out to you.
It was a crazy year. I mean, I think if you guys haven't already talked about it, I mean, Trump.
No, we didn't talk about anything but me whining about Christmas. So you're good.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, we got the news today to kind of put the exclamation mark on the year about Trump being kicked off the ballot in Maine. So,
oh, he got another one. I saw he won Michigan or something, right? They said, no, they weren't taking him off. So now he's gone in Maine. Okay.
Yeah.
They took him off in Colorado and they put him back in Colorado. Christie's right. And they took him off in Maine. And this is going to keep going on. If you know anyone who's a strategist on the dim side, like their states are going to stagger it so that their Trump is involved with as much legal BS as possible, like until the election day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Supreme Court is going to have to step in sooner rather than later. I couldn't imagine them not stepping in.
Well, I thought they did come out and say that they weren't in a rush to do it. Like we'll get around to it before we go in October.
I think there's a deeper issue here. Like, I don't think Trump's going to be allowed to become president. Just like real talk. I mean, like, you know, I've been to court for, you know, for business, non-criminal reasons as an adult. But I mean, like, it's you can move these hearings back, you know, for civil cases. You've got up to 3 years to complete every component of the case. He's charged in, you guys might correct me, but 4 different states. He's got 92 criminal and civil counts. Like all a judge has to do is say, we really need a preliminary evidentiary hearing on this date. And it just so happens to be the date of the debate. Like this kind of stuff is just going to go on until the election. There's no reason for the ops to stop it, kind of. Like that's it. You know, so I don't see a Donald Trump 2024 win.
Well, I've seen Vivek put out a couple of tweets saying that he doesn't think it's going to be Biden or Trump, that neither side is going to let either one of the older gentlemen run. So if not Biden, then who? Because that to me is the more interesting one.
Well, I think I was the first guy to get out there and say that. Somebody asked me on some show, I think I was on Newsmax, and they said, what do you think about this and this on Trump or whatever? Is this going to happen? I said, I'm more concerned about whether Biden's going to be the nominee. As time goes on, I'm looking less right, but there's still an out. I think the only reason it's been delayed is because they don't want Kamala. And I mean, replacing him is easy. Getting rid of him and not having Kamala is the challenge. And they don't want Kamala. So if they had their way, it would probably be Gavin Newsom or someone else. But they can't just, you know, they got to buy her off or something. They can't just ignore her. I mean, because it's weird, because I don't know if our white listeners know this, but I mean, the black people here can tell you honestly that there's this Ados versus immigrant kind of thing, what they call the tethers. If you look up tethers on Twitter, it's pretty interesting. So it's weird. So for 11 and a half months of the year, Kamala ain't black. Go look at Twitter. You'll see black people talking about Kamala's not black all the time. But you try to remove her, if Biden's gone and she's not the nominee, here comes the Chucks and Pearls. Am I right?
You're right. But, I mean, everything's been going around Twitter as far as, you know, black people leaving, you know, the Democratic Party, black people being done with the Democrats. So this is the real test of that. You know, do we, you know, still line up behind Kamala? Like, do black Democrats still fall in line and get upset?
Yeah, that'd be interesting. A lot of them don't like her, so I don't know. But her versus the older white man, that might change the game there and force them in hand. So what do you think? So you haven't been with us this long, but what are your thoughts on the guests that you remember speaking to, the episodes that we've had? Who sticks out to you? Who was memorable? What do you like?
Ooh, that's a difficult one. I mean, I guess the one that top of mind, I mean, I do like the women issue that you did. I mean, I was part of that one, so it's kind of self-serving.
South Patchley is, Leticia.
Yeah, I definitely like that one. I thought that was definitely an interesting twist, having, you know, because it's usually two gentlemen and a female, right? But I think having you kind of outnumbered, I think that was kind of a good dynamic, you know, there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. True.
I don't know. What about you? What about you, Will?
Well, I liked a lot of them. I mean, I wasn't on the female panel for obvious reasons, but I mean, I've enjoyed talking to a bunch of people. Like Heather McDonald about crime might be the one that most stands out just in terms of like hard info. A lot of people looked at it, but I mean, a lot of them were pretty hilarious. Like all the women that we've talked with have been solid. I don't think there's one that, well, this is actually kind of on the line there. Phil Illy, the man who identifies as a woman, or who identifies as an autogynephilic lover of women, was one of the more, that was one of the podcasts that does stand out, where I've gotten a lot of kind of private commentary on Twitter and other social media about that. So I'll pick those two.
Stop the presses. I hate to do this, and I apologize for your wait, Christy, but I got a special guest that's popping up here. I can't believe it. I'm almost afraid to press the button. Okay, wait. Let's see what happens when I do this. This can't be real. Somebody's punking me.
Oh my God. Shamika.
They're not punking me. It's Shamika Michelle. If only we could see her.
There she is. Okay.
There she is.
Shamika's herself.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can hear you. And now we can see you.
Hi, guys.
Hi,
Shamika.
It's good to see y'all.
Good to see you too. And here I've been told that you hated us and you would never come and visit us.
Right.
It's filled with rage at Christy right now.
Exactly. I hate you, Christy.
They're trying to replace me. So
go ahead. Tell her how you really feel, Shamika.
Look, I've been enjoying the clips that I get to see and some of the shows that Charles says they're really fiery, and I go watch them. Good job, y'all. I feel like this light is up too much.
And we obviously have been watching you too, making the waves. What was the last thing I was laughing about? You did something. Somebody was mad at you about something. I can't remember.
That's always.
And I was going to say, I can't remember either.
Oh my God. But it's good to see you. How you been? What's going on? What's new?
What's new? It's not good news.
No.
Yeah, I had an uncle murdered December 3rd. So.
My God, that's your second uncle.
Yes.
Oh.
The second one. And this one was minding his own business. What we are told is that the person that killed him knocked on three other doors before he got to his, claiming that he needed help. It was 6:30 in the morning on a Sunday morning. My uncle was preparing. He does the hot breakfast ministry at church every Sunday. And so I guess the guy was upset. He wouldn't let him come in or something. I don't even know, because he's not. They arrested the guy, but he's not talking, like, to kind of fill in the gaps.
Wow. That's yeah. So sorry. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So when y'all see me go real hard on, you know, this whole black shooting black thing, he's the wind beneath my wings, because I don't want to hear that we need to be afraid of the white man. You know, we're so scared.
Oh, he wasn't white, the guy who shot him?
Right. He's black. Blackity black.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So wow. That's terrible to hear.
Yeah. So what's the rate, Will? I tagged you, but you may not have seen it. Okay. That blacks kill blacks more than whites kill whites, at what rate?
Well, it's almost the same. But yeah, 94% of 94% of black murder victims are killed by other black people, usually other black men. I mean, it's I will say, because we're getting a pretty big audience for these by this point. I mean, like, that's almost the same thing for whites. Like 86% of white people are killed by other whites. Person most likely to kill you is your wife. Or I guess your husband. I mean, like, it's about even. You know, the women usually
are they dying? Is it like, are we killing each other at a greater percentage, I guess?
Yeah, in the same, something? The percentage is the same, but the volume is different, right?
Volume. What's the volume difference?
It's crazy. Like, so again, like, each group has different pathology. So, like, the white suicide rate is like four times the black suicide rate. But right. When it comes to murder, the black murder rate is like seven times the white rate. And it's something that we're just not discussing honestly as a community at all.
Right.
I mean, you know, that pretty much is it. Like, the white murder rate is high in global terms. It's like four per 100,000. Mm-hmm. The U.S. murder rate is like six. But the black murder rate by the end of Black Lives Matter is 33 people per 100,000 per year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, in their life, something like 3 or 4% of all black men are going to be murdered. In fact, that's probably an underestimate. So, yeah, that's a real issue. I mean, it's at least as serious as opiates or whatever in the white community, but there's a taboo against us talking about it. So it's
exactly like, and the fact that you could say this is your second uncle, it's like, yes, not the second one to be killed by a white officer or a white person, you know, the second one to be killed by another black man.
Right. And then I said that because that's one of the things, we obviously miss you because we love you and you're funny and all that stuff. But one of the key things that everybody likes about you is you're just so honest and raw and real. And you say, I remember because you mentioned it on the show. And so that sticks out, the fact that that happened before. And this one, obviously innocent, just mind his business, just happened to have some crazy person show up.
Yeah.
And you can't say that. You gotta have restorative justice. So you need to sit down. You and your family need to sit down with him and talk to him about his feelings and what drove him to that, as opposed to locking him up, because you can't lock up another black man.
Right. Exactly. No, yeah. I want him locked up where he is, but that's not even good enough for me. Like, I want him with a shit bag, maybe spitting when he talks, you know. Mm-hmm. I want that type of suffering. So I'll keep you posted.
yeah, definitely do that. And so you say you've been listening, but obviously you were here for half the year. So what we were asking, I was asking Will and Christy what stuck out to them as far as the prior guests this year. Will mentioned Heather Mack, and Christy was talking about the episode we did with the women. What about you? What was one of your favorites? I think of some that I know, I think in my head that you missed, and I'm like, darn, if Shanika would have been at these episodes. So what do you think?
So you know, all of our guests kind of, or, you know, run together for me. And sometimes I'll run into someone or somebody will mention the name and I'm like, I've heard that name before, or I know that story, or something like that. And I'm like, oh, we interviewed them on Cut the Bull. But I guess I would have to say maybe Liz Collins. I really enjoyed that with her and the other guy that was on, and also Glenn Lowry. Yeah, I think that was one of my favorites because it was just so down to earth and it was just us blacks.
Well, I figured I was doing a coin toss because I said 50-50. You're going to say Liz Collins or you're going to say John Mattingly.
Refresh my memory.
He was the last, your last episode, and he was the guy who was shot when the woman from Louisville got shot in her house, because I don't say her name.
Yes, yes, yeah. That one was good too. Yes, that one was good. But she's the more popular name there.
Right, so. Now the documentary's come out. I had that with her too. Somebody said, hey, there's this documentary out about George Floyd based on this woman who's a reporter. I mean, yeah, we had her on, right? Mm-hmm. And now the movie's out, and now it's all what's old is new again.
Right.
What do you all think about it? There's been some good, some positive shift a little bit, but the fact that we ended another year, I guess I'll start with them. So one of the things was obviously Kennedy took a bit of a hit, right? And as did, who was the other one? The BLM founders with the mansions and all that stuff this year. So I'm often asked, so do you think DEI is going the other way and all of this, you know, anti-racism, is it shifting because of that? So people see them for the true colors. And I don't think so. But what do you all think? Do you think that has been had an impact, like Kendi getting in trouble and all this other stuff, on the way we look at racial essentialism and like at colleges and everywhere else? Anyone, you will. What do you think?
Okay. So I think it, so kind of, but not that much, would I guess be my honest answer to that. Let me pop up this. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that there are kind of two levels to this. Like, I think people by this point are really tired of quote unquote wokeness. That's something that's definitely been coming across. I mean, when I mentioned the black murder rate is like 30 per 100,000 per year, that's actually new. That's not due to racism or genetics or anything else. It's due to the police pulling back. So, I mean, that's right. That's about double during the Black Lives Matter era. And I think that a lot of people that even we know that are like leaders at local or state levels are looking at that and saying, like, this is bullshit. This can't continue. You know, we understand whatever we might say in public, what's been going on. And that combined with, I don't mean to bring it up again, but the trans issue, like all this other stuff. Like, a lot of people are just looking at this and saying, like, okay, no more. Now you've got, like, people marching for Hamas. Like, that's a complicated situation, to be honest. Like, you have people in the streets with full-on, like, Palestinian and ISIS flags. You know, the ordinary citizen, black or white, is looking at that and just saying, this is crazy. Like, I want nothing to do with this. So in that sense, yes, you're going to see backlash candidates. Even when you mention, like, Vivek and Ron DeSantis and so on in the Republican primary, it's a hell of a shift from, you know, Jeb Bush. So that is there. But the second level with wokeness is that you have to get it out of the institutions. And this is something that I think a lot of people are forgetting, like Dick Hanania, who I think we talked about having on the show, wrote a whole book, The Roots of Wokeness. And there are laws, like you can be sued if your percentage of blacks or Hispanics in your business, or whites, now that Asians are coming in, is less than 80% of the general population percentage. Like, it's all this dry numbers guy stuff. And until you get rid of that, like treating men and women in any business situation differently is always illegal sexism. Like, until you start looking at some of that stuff, and often it should be, you know, but you're not really going to get rid of woke. So I think there are two levels. Like, yeah, we knocked it back a little bit, but now you have to get rid of the infrastructure, like the DEI department in every company.
Right. Christy, you were going to say something, but I'll let you go first and then I'll say what. So what were you going to say, Christy?
Yeah, I was just going to say, it seems like conservatives, because that's mostly, you know, who I'm around, they are comfortable enough with like just owning the libs and like, yeah, see, I told you so, you know, BLM was garbage. But who are they talking to? They're largely talking to each other. And we're not convincing liberals. We're not convincing the mainstream. We're not convincing independents. And it's almost like they have blinders on, because it still amazes me when, like, you know, reasonable people, soccer moms, will have, you know, hashtag BLM still in their bio or on their car. And I'm like, haven't y'all heard? You know, didn't we haven't gotten through? We haven't penetrated that. It's almost like they have blinders on and they don't want to see the reality of what's going on. So I don't think we've really made any inroads at all.
Shamika, what about this? We'll mention briefly the Hamas thing. What about the fact that I don't know how to take this? Because I hear normal people being upset about it, good thing, but is something being done? What about just in the last 5 to 7 days? How many airports have been shut down by people? Chicago for sure, JFK, LAX, and I just saw them today at the World Trade Center. No one's going to a couple people, but they're not arresting people. Shamika, shouldn't they just be snatching people off the street and locking them up?
Yeah, I'm thinking more of a firing squad, you know.
I'm getting like you, because I've been, somebody said, why don't they shoot them? I don't know if you all saw this. There's a woman in New York.
That's old school Shamika energy.
But no, I'm sorry. I used to say Shamika was crazy. I'm starting to turn into, but no, she's right in a sense. So they walk, a woman in New York walked into a restaurant, private business, walked through the restaurant into the patio and started tearing down Israeli and USA flags. You know, they got the flag with the two flags merged, tearing them down. Restaurant employee confronted her. She cursed out, pulled the stuff, and she kind of pushed her. And somebody tweeted, was like, well, where are the police? I mean, can the police be everywhere? I'm like, no, where's the shooting, the gun or the punch in the face? Until you start attacking these people, they're not going to stop. They have no reason to. If they shut down the roads to an airport during Christmas season when everybody's traveling and like 90 of them and one person gets arrested, they're going to do it again. And how do I know this? Because I'm not that bright. I don't know, because they've done 4 airports already.
Right.
And if you don't arrest
them, like, if I'm trying to get to a sick relative and there's a some bitch standing in the middle of the street, I'm just going to hit him. I mean, like, it's there's not in Kentucky, like, you're going to be charged with something for that, but it ain't going to be murder. But I strongly suspect that most of these, you know, athletic looking black dudes and like urban white Antifa kids would, you know, start moving a little quicker if they actually see 3 or 4 vehicles coming at them down I-88. Like, that's it really is that simple. Like, if you enforce the law, I'm not going to go into my whole thing about how most rules aren't actually real and so on, and people have to have fear. But like, if you actually enforce the law, people will stop breaking the law. Like, it really is that simple. Like, a lot of things, like rioting during COVID, you get to fight and hook up outside. Like, that's fun. People aren't going to stop doing it because you say it's bad. They're going to stop doing it because a cop hits them over the head with a big stick. So, like, the more of that happens, the better.
Yeah.
Right, or a group of guys.
They even vandalized A&T. And I was really pissed off because I'm like, this is a HBCU, and you all are letting someone write Free Palestine or whatever all over the stuff that you can barely pay for. Like, someone should have been drugged and thrown into the little pool out there. Like, how are y'all letting them do this at an HBCU? It's crazy to me.
So there's also
like, just really quickly, there's an element of stupidity to this. Like, we haven't had these protests at K-State, but I mean, like, the one we had in Kentucky, I think it was the famous black regiment, like the, you know, colored or quote unquote troops that fought for the Union. Like, someone messed up that monument. I don't know why, but the idea, I guess, was just like, it's, you know, a picture of these dead people in bronze. You know, they were black. They must have been on the wrong side. And that's happened a bunch of times over the years. Like, the guy who wrote Don Quixote, Cervantes, got his statue knocked down in one of the bigger cities. And he's a Spaniard. The anti-racist wanted that. It's, these people don't know what they're attacking. They don't understand who these people are. They just see dead dudes with beards, half of whom look white, and react. It really is that simple. It's that stupid.
Yeah, 100%. And so it sounds like the consensus is that Will is the one most optimistic that, you know, we're moving in the right direction a little bit, but until you get to the core, the root of the problem, the academies and corporations and things of that nature, you're not going to completely annihilate it. But we talked about, you know, the race and the anti-racism a lot, but I think we have more guests this year talking about gender than any other topic. And again, Shamika, you missed a couple of the really good ones. That was right at time. I think we had like 4 or 5 in a row. But what about that? Do you think that that is shifting to the right direction with the Riley Gaines and all the other fights and the Supreme Court justice, even though she got on, who looked foolish when she couldn't say what a woman is, you know, have we moved in the right direction there?
Well, according to Billy Porter, there has been a shift in consciousness, and we are moving in the direction, you know, trans, they're the new gay from his time, and they will become, you know, accepted because, you know, all of this foolishness. And Dancing with the Stars had him singing Whitney Houston. I know Whitney wanted to rise out of her grave, and I rise up and come and just smack the fool out of everybody that approved that, because that was so disrespectful. But I don't know. I think that when you talk to people like one-on-one, when I talk to people, they think it's stupid, but they aren't speaking up about it. Like, I have a friend that works at the school, at the high school, and she thinks it's so crazy that they're allowing boys to go into the girls' restroom. And they also have a teacher. I better say I have a few friends at this school. Okay. Maybe they can't pinpoint it, but she was saying that one of the teachers wants to go by MX. She doesn't want to go be called Miss whatever. She wants to be Mix whatever. And I'm just thinking, like, you can complain to me all day long. I agree with you. It's stupid. But unless more people are being vocal and taking a stand and saying, I'm not going to be, you know, trying to change my entire vocabulary for you. I'm not going to look at a man that I know is a man and call him a she or her. I just think it's going to continue because people do think it's ridiculous, but I don't think enough people are speaking against it.
Chris, is the only way that we're going to move in the right direction is for it to get even crazy enough, as bad as it is. They just think it's not crazy enough. You know, I just saw a new term. You can't keep up with them. Yesterday, I think, called abrosexual.
Who?
And it's ABRO, abrosexual. And apparently, Chrissy, this is someone who basically can just, you know, I guess it's a new, more stricter, a stricter term of gender fluidity, in the sense that they're saying, well, I can be this gender on Tuesday, and then the next week I'll go to this. And I kind of go in between and change the type. Is that what it's going to take? And then the woman who echosexual because she was in love with a tree. Is that what it's going to take, Chrissy? Just going all out?
In this one, I'm a little bit more optimistic that we are making some inroads. I think Moms for Liberty, that's why they're being attacked so much, because, you know, they're speaking up at the school boards. I think parents are going to these school boards. They're, you know, reading the trash that's in the books aloud, you know, getting kicked out. I was just at Turning Point, and I think Chloe was there speaking. Powerful story. Mm-hmm. So I think the more that people are speaking with their stories, Riley Gaines was there. But it's really just the moms and dads that are sick of it, and that are, it's going to take how it was during COVID when the moms and dads came and they just, you know, got arrested at the school board meetings. You know, they I think that's what it's going to take with these trans issues. And you never know until you really talk to your kids and say, hey, what's going on? And I think that's what it's going to take, is for parents to realize, you know, yes, the stuff is going on in their schools, and just flood the school board meetings. And I think that is coming. I think that's coming too.
But here's the problem with that, I think, and Will is our, you know, sex expert here. So he writes about it, and he's the open, do whatever you want to do guy. Is the problem with that? So while she may be right, and there are more attacks on it to young kids, as it should be, in the schools, don't push it on them, don't do stuff and hide it from parents, which most people, even like Will, who says do whatever you want to do, you shouldn't be doing that. So that is getting stronger, and hopefully that's moving in the right direction. But the other part of society is saying, but after that, you know, let's normalize everything as far as adults are concerned. So when you watch movies and you see media, like Shamika mentioned with Billy Porter, everything else is still being normalized. I mean, they made fun of the speaking event that is his name Dylan Mulvaney went to, and there weren't a lot of people at it. But, you know, I think Dylan still has cachet. Dylan's still getting paid. I think there's still enough, you know, trans activists and people out there who the left are willing to prop up if given the opportunity. So aren't those two separate things, Will?
Well, I mean, it depends what you mean. So first of all, I don't really think of, I appreciate your recognition of my role as an internationally known sex expert, by the way. I will say that from my writing about like sex and dating online, I've actually been offered like a couple of romantic advice columns. The first one was from Queer Majority, and they've gone beyond that to pretty mainstream. I'm not going to do this, but I do think that's pretty funny. But getting back to, I don't really know if like my mom would be all that geeked out about my job being sex experts. I'm probably going to stick with you in teaching, sometimes coaching, you know how it is. But anyway. But in all seriousness, though, like, I actually don't think transgenderism is like heterosexuality or, for that matter, homosexuality. Because, like, if you're gay, say, if you're bisexual as a woman, all that means is you're sometimes attracted to both sexes. So if you say, I'm bisexual, you might not like that. You might really like that, but it is what it is. Then you're basically bisexual. That's it. If you say that you are a zebra, and in fact you are me or Charles, you do not suddenly become a zebra. And I think that a lot of people notice that in the context of the trans question. Like with gay people, now I think that that went a little too far. I mean, I don't want to attack the gay old gay community, but I mean, you're talking about stuff like, there are real moral questions when you get into like, can two men rent a poor woman's body and pay her to give birth to three kids using exotic fertility drugs? Like, there's a lot of stuff that comes out of the move past the traditional family that we like honestly need to deal with. So that's point one. But transgenderism is different even from that. It's people saying they are something that they objectively are not. So I do think, first of all, that we've made progress on this. Like, generally, when there are trends in medicine that are promoted by doctors for money, that all the experts endorse, quote unquote, but they seem crazy, like lobotomy is the classic example. Those don't last all that long. People start noticing that a lot of damage is being done and there's a pullback. And I think it's what we're seeing there. Like, the detransitioner thing is crazy. Like, I'm actually casual friends with Chloe, the girl you're talking about. And yep. Yeah, like, you can get your breast cut off at 15.
Yeah, that's
great. I mean, like, I've been to events, like, I spoke at GenSpect, which is where we got a lot of those feminists and, like, gender radicals, and that, like, five-week block of shows that people were messaging us about. But, I mean, like, right. I spoke there and, like, partied there a little bit. And, I mean, like, they'll tell you, like, I met Luca Hine there, who's, like, again, awesome, funny, but, like, a very attractive, like, middle of college, like, normal-looking woman, young woman, but who sounds kind of like a guy. And who's working on that, but that's the effect of using testosterone therapy for a period of months. So, like, getting to the point, like, yeah, I think all that's going to be pushed back. We're not going to do this to kids, so on. The question of, should you be able to transition, like, should you be able to get certain surgery, like an orchiectomy, which doesn't require a diagnosis of full gender dysphoria, by the way, that's getting your balls cut off. Mm-hmm. It's the surgery that used to be performed on eunuchs in the Byzantine Empire. They put a little vis around them. They chop them off. When you move on with your life, there's a searing process. We don't need to discuss it. Like, should you be allowed to do that as an adult, as though you were going to go work for Caesar? You know, I think that we're going to have to work that out. I wouldn't have a problem with a lot of that being banned by law. But right. So, like, I think you have the right to do whatever you want within the context of the laws that we vote on. Like, you can break those laws for gain, but then you're going to be charged with crimes if you're a doctor, for example. I mean, I think we're going to have to decide on that. But the real issue with this is all of the young kids that believe that gender is totally fluid. 25% of young people identify as trans or non-binary or other kin or whatever. Now, I think if you cut that off at the root and say, no, none of you are doing this until you're like college sophomores, 18 or 21, you know, I think that would end most of it.
Right, right. And, you know, I didn't mention mine when I asked you all about your show. I think it was the most interesting, probably the most difficult interview we've done. But, you know, having Chloe and Luca Hine on together was a really great episode. And one of the other things I noticed, so we talk about these different topics and we have some really good and interesting guests. But some of my favorite parts of the show have always been, and the way he does this is so awesome, Will's challenges. So Will would be like, well, I don't want to challenge the guest. And then he'll challenge the guest. And it'd be like, it's so awesome. It's so funny. And one of my favorite is because it was Christy's first one and watching her face was funny. But I mean, I know with Shamika, he and Bryce and Gray went back and forth. Shamika missed Tiffany Justice. But if you remember, do you remember Christy what the first one was? Do you remember who he challenged on that one?
You, when you guys got into it.
It
for
was
like
me.
10 minutes straight, and I was like,
arguing.
I don't know what to do. Like,
can you imagine Shamika She's coming on the new flower, just like she's trying to fill Shamika's big shoes. I'm just gonna come on. What do we gotta talk about? That's no big deal. And then Charles and Will get into it for like 10 minutes.
Both of them are probably just like, well, these morons, shut up.
Right. Needed a couple beers.
That was funny. But I love what he does. Like he and Tiffany got into it about whether you ban books or not. Well, I'm not trying to ban books, but should you ban books? With the law, what was the law, Will? The law said that if you can't read the book at the school board meeting, like Christy was talking about, then you can't have it in the library. In on its face, it sounds, I see why you're doing it. Like, if it's too raunchy to read in front of adults, you shouldn't have any kids. But Will was just asking. Will was like, yeah, but what if just somebody says, I don't want you reading any book because they don't want to read it. Anytime they stop you, you just can't have that book.
And she was having none of it.
That just started the whole thing. That was funny. And then, Shamika, how could you not have come back for the anti-racist? Do you know? I don't know if I sent you any clips.
Oh, that was one of my favorite shows too, actually.
We had these two women who wrote this book called The Anti-Racist Heart, right? So you have a older white woman, maybe early 60s. She's speaking in a very soft NPR voice. And a black woman who is an immigrant from Haiti, I believe it was, writing a book about Black America and how to teach people to be anti-racist. And it was. Do you remember the episode with Anne Lesby, right? Mm-hmm. Think of Anne, right? Think of a
real.
There's no Shamika there to push. There's no Shamika to push back. And I didn't talk to Will before. I said, I'm not going to challenge them. I kept coaching myself, no matter what they say, don't challenge them, don't challenge them. And Will was so nice. So we were just like plain face, like whatever. Oh, so all the black people should do that. That's interesting. And so he's just like, but I you know, that's a good point. But let me ask you this question. And they were like, what did they say, Will? Something about microaggressions, you know, like hearing these things, you know, can cause you health problems, which I don't disagree with, cause you health problems, can hurt your life, can set you back, do all these things. And so my only question was, well, shouldn't you just not let that control you? Cause basically you're letting the racists win.
Right.
Let me give you one, Shamika, in the book. So it had to be important because it made it to her book. Of all the list of crazy racist examples she had to put it in the book. And so she was going to give us this example of all the racism she faced. So the woman, she's black, shows up at a restaurant. Let's call it an Applebee's. She shows up at Applebee's with her friend who's white and her friend's mom, who I'm assuming is white. And so they're waiting for a table. And they're just genuinely, you know, just having conversation, chit-chatting. And so I guess the point is that obviously we know each other, we're talking, but you can talk to other guests. And the host walks up and looks at them and says, two for dinner? Oh, you were waiting for the racism. I was done, Shamika. That was the racism. she assumed that she was not with them because they were white and she was black. And it made it in the book to prove, you know, the difficulties of going through life with brown skin.
Wow. Poor thing.
What do you think about that? You don't think that's important and that's something that she should carry with her for the rest of her life?
No, I don't. But I that's crazy to me because I think as a black person, then I may have been the one to be racist against her because I might have done the same thing. I don't know. Just assume they were chatting as people that had just met waiting on a table. You know, I don't think that's such a big deal.
All right. I got one more. She said that when she goes to the suburbs somewhere in California and she can park her car in a nice, well lit park in the parking lot and run in of a Walgreens. But when in Oakland, they had to park further away because there were no parking spots closer to the door because of handicap, but also because there was a spot reserved for police officers. What?
That's racist?
I think so. I
mean, there's an assumption that's totally baseless that black people are going to commit more crime.
Oh, so that's the racist part. Well, listen, where I'm from, there are certain Walgreens that I would appreciate the police being pulled up to the front just so I can feel safe because it just is what it is. And even if they aren't going to commit a crime, there's somebody saying, hey, I'm hungry, you know, so I, you know, that's just me being honest. I appreciate the police being certain places.
Yeah, I mean, here in Appalachia, it's like 90% white, but they have those World Trade Center barriers around the front of every pharmacy. So I guess people can't like drive in and rob the place. You know, they got that OxyContin there. So, I mean, it's just, in a working class area, you're going to deal with the assumption there's more crime because there's more crime.
Right.
I mean,
no, so
it's an inability to adjust for reality with all these people.
Yeah, that's true. And
Tamika. Shamika, you gotta go back and you gotta watch this episode because I had to miss that day. I was supposed to be on, I had to miss. And I'm watching it back and I'm yelling at the screen.
Oh, no.
Like,
no,
they are nice.
She called me. I was like, why did you challenge them? I said, that was the point. The whole point is it's so crazy. You just let them say they're crazy. You want them to say more of it. So you're just like, oh, really? Tell me more. You don't want to say that's not right. You don't want them to stop.
Charles, do you remember Tam?
I was just about to bring that up.
Wait, no, I got a call from so you know
Tam. It was like, this is unbelievable. Like, look
I
at your face.
The other
look
day.
At these people. It's adorable.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I said, I'm on the school board here. She came to the school board meeting to complain about Maude, who was also a guest, because they want her removed because she's a danger. They said she is creating literal physical harm to kids by saying in a WhatsApp chat that wasn't even around kids that somebody leaked that trans kids aren't real. So she showed up at a board meeting to demand that Maude Marin resign from her position.
Did you all run against each other for school board?
Yes, Tam.
Like you won by like it was a one vote race and all that?
Yeah, Maude beat Tam by a half a vote.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank goodness though. Woo. Every half vote counts.
Vote early and often.
Oh my God. Yes, Tam. That was my first time seeing her in person. But yeah, Tam came on here and was just like, well, I don't really think I'm woke, but I just think that people, you should be. But I don't know. But when she got to prison, she's like, I feel bad for it. But yes, you should lock people up. Now, you should put a man in a woman's prison if he says he's a woman, but you should still lock people up. So she was kind of all over the place.
That was the first time I saw you get really riled up.
Tam's actually a fun person. Tam is, I think, banned from the radio station I sometimes host.
Really?
And yeah, no, like she came on and we were talking about sex. And it was kind of like the exact reverse of the Moms for Liberty conversation. Like she was like, I think we need full pleasure-based sex ed in the schools. I think that was the topic.
Oh,
but
wow.
At one point she was like, it was, I think the exact quote was like, we're not exactly teaching kids how to lick pussy right now. And this is like a big Southern radio station. The producer was like, shit, like jamming the horns. Like I was cracking up, but it's still like, hey, I don't know if that kind of language is acceptable here on, you know, WKYUSA or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, Jam's funny if you hang out with her personally, but that, yeah, there was a lot of backlash. There were actually a lot of positive backlash from women. Like, yeah, boys still haven't learned that. But then there was also a lot of people like, what the hell is this? Why is this a topic on the show? Like, talk about business, Riley. So it was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, but no, I wouldn't want my kids learning that from anyone else. Learn it from your mother. I do it best. I'm just playing.
God intended.
Well, you
got to learn how to hold them. Learn how to hold them. That's what you used to do. You'd sit with your dad and he'd tell you because your father would be in the house and all this. But anyway,
You all are crazy. Jason Nichols and Nick Taliaferro. Remember, so Nick was the former deputy mayor of Philadelphia who came on to talk about the nuanced differences between left and right, but just spent the whole time talking about history. So Will would say, so what do you think about the issues we're facing with illegal immigration? Well, you got to look at the history of racism. I got to look at the history of racism to talk about today's immigration. Yeah, you got to look at the history of racism. What about education? Shouldn't we focus on helping the kids who are struggling? You got to look at the history of racism. Remember that? He just kept saying the history of racism over and over again. And then Jason, I don't think it was Will, it was me. Jason and I got into it because what did I ask him? I asked him, because he said, I guess at that time, the hot story was some guy tried to steal a car from a driveway and somebody came out and shot him five times.
Yes.
And Jason was like, well, maybe you could shoot him once to defend yourself, but you shouldn't shoot him five times. I said, yes. Shouldn't we focus on the guy stealing the car? And I was like,
I remember
so you're
that.
Telling me that. And he was just like, he wouldn't answer the question. Well, that's a silly, that's a dumb question. I'm like, why? Why can't you just tell? He would not answer the question. Like, yo, at some point, it's your fault for going into someone's driveway and trying to steal the car.
Right. Yeah, I remember that because there was a mom whose teenager was trying to break in a car or do something and he got shot. I know that was that happened around that time as well. Right. And she was saying, I'm a single mama. I can't be home all the time. I got, you know, like it was like she had no fault.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's crazy. So and unless we it's just like all the other issues, unless we hold people accountable, then they have no reason not to do anything. If we're bending over backwards to let people. I know we did an episode with a woman who's I know she's in New York with me now, but she was in Portland and she wrote an article, long article about the terrible death of a 36-year-old mother of six who was killed by her ex. But he had been arrested like seven times and then like once for domestic abuse, but not like punching his girlfriend. I think he threw her down, put his foot on her neck and put a gun to her head and they kept letting him out. Right. And then the bail reformers of Portland were like, no, you got to bail him out. And then when they said even the DA was like, look, I'm a progressive, but this dude needs to be in jail. So they finally got a judge to give him a bail. And then the progressive nonprofit organizations raised the money and bailed him out.
Wow.
So, yeah, as long as you allow that to happen, you're not going to fix anything. So let's do 24 real quick. I don't want to hold you all too long. What are your predictions on 24? What do you think politically, culturally? Race, gender, whatever you think. Just what do you think? Will we see more commercials as we get into the political season? Will we see more no voting, no bucking? Will we see more commercials? Will we see more COVID commercials like the guy like, look, dude, I sell things. You know, I'm a business. Will we see more crazy commercials like that? What's going on in Israel? What do you think? Let's start with you, Christy. 2024.
I can't imagine any rap stars coming out and doing any kind of, you know.
The new crew better back that thing up. You
yeah, I can't see them doing any of that for the Democrats. Didn't Cardi B, she didn't come out and she didn't endorse the Republicans, but she said, I'm not with Biden. I'm not with this, you know. So I think that's going to be the vibe, hopefully.
But they got the A-listers, though. they'll get the bigger actors, right?
Yeah, they can have the pop ones. They can have those, but I don't think Black people.
No rappers, though.
It's not going to be any rappers. It's not going to It's not going to be us doing it this time. I think Biden's going to have to hold his own water. Okay. I'm interested in the presidential election. I mean, I don't know who it's going to be even on the Republican side. So if it's Nikki Haley, we're all in trouble. That's all I can say. She's going to have us in every war, everywhere. So it can't be her. I'm like anyone but her.
But it'll be a woman, though.
I do think we are going to see parents start to get pissed and start to like rise up like they did during COVID. I'm looking forward to that. I think parents are waking up. I don't think we ever went back to sleep after COVID. I think we're keeping a closer eye on what's going on in the schools, what's going on everywhere. Hopefully the economy will start to turn around. If not, again, I think people are going to rise up and just be done with it. I mean, this inflation is killing everyone. So I think that that's going to have huge repercussions in 2024 if that doesn't turn around.
Shamika?
You know, part of me feels like we're doomed. But I do have a little bit of hope, at least, you know, I'm on contract to get up every week and act like, you know, I have some. but I do think that people are or have opened their eyes, you know, and I do think they're seeing the difference. I do think we're going to get some rappers or some Black people shilling for the Democrat Party. I do. But I don't think it's going to be as many as we're used to. And I think just the common Black folk, they've changed their mind. I know my uncle, before he died, we went at it so hard, you know, because he was just so against me being a Trump supporter. And I was so upset with him that in 2021, you know, after the whole insurrection, and he was like, oh, you're going to jail and blah, 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 blah. he always cut my grass, been cutting my grass for years. I told him, well, since you voted for illegal immigration, I'm going to give a Hispanic your job. And so I did. And I watched him struggle to put gas in the car, and he was always complaining. So many Hispanics moved in on the street that he lives on. And so one of the last conversations we had was about illegal immigration. And he said, you know, I'm voting with you this time. And so just to know that someone who was so anti, you know, Republican period, actually saw what, you know, people have been saying for years, it gives me hope. And then a lot of people, even my mom was like, well, yeah, he told me that too. And I told him I wasn't sure who I was voting for. My mother has voted Democrat, you know, as long as she could vote. So just to hear people even thinking about doing something different says that we have made strides and there has been a change. So I'm hopeful on that. Yeah, but I wish that I had enough money to build a bunker, because I think there's going to be something very catastrophic happen in 2024. I do believe that it's going to be something major. And unfortunately, I'm too poor.
well, you said your mother said the same thing. So apparently your uncle said that out loud.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Big Brother's listening. So hopefully nobody sent that crazy guy who's not talking.
Yeah, well, right. Well, he can roll up if he want to, because my uncle wasn't armed. I am.
Will, what do you think? What are your thoughts on 2024?
I think you're going to see a lot of political craziness. I mean, the election is going to be insane, just objectively speaking. I mean, you've got two 80-year-old accused felons. I mean, that's who's going to win. Like, Biden's not stepping down. You know, people who get to that point in life have dreamed of power their entire lives. Yeah, I mean, Joe Biden's run for president something like 8 times. And Joe Biden's barely functional. I mean, he clearly has Alzheimer's or dementia, something like that. You know, his son right now is involved in a gun case, a cocaine case, a tax fraud case. And the thing underlying all this is the idea of, did he give 10 or 15% of all this money to the big guy, Joe Biden? I mean, so that's over Biden. You've got Trump. Trump's charged with 90 felonies. So, I mean, these two guys could be running against each other from cells. You know, and I mean, so that's going to be the defining feature of the year, like which elderly criminal is going to win the election. And I mean, I think that's going to lead to intensified discussions about race, COVID-19, the election year variant is going to reappear again, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. So on down the line. I mean, I think that's going to be the thing that defines the year. The one thing that I will say, though, is I actually am pretty hopeful about the world, unless we're destroyed by something like an actual nuclear war or the wrath of the actual gods or something like that. Like, in terms of just the trajectory of human potential, I mean, the other day we figured out in CRISPR how to generate, like, multiple stem and egg cells per couple so that you can pick the child or the potential child that's least likely to have these terrible genetic diseases, most likely to be intelligent, so on down the line. And a lot of people are going to sort of morally object to that. But in reality, in 50 years, human beings are going to be smarter, faster, so on, or at least have that potential. I don't know how much we'll destroy our bodies with weird new drugs with names like glycine and, you know, eating pure fat made in labs and so on. But I think overall the world is going to be a better place. Next year is going to be kind of a shit show, though, with the election. I mean, I expect to see a lot of people jailed. I expect to see back and forth, high level dirt between Trump and Biden, all that sort of thing.
People killed is definitely going to be a high profile cop or somebody white killing a bunch of black people. But you forgot the biggest thing, all of you, Calendar Gate. Calendar Gate is going to take everybody out.
Yeah, that's something we didn't even discuss today, this crazy thing with all these people backlashing to these conservative women and like these very PG date night outfits. Yeah, actually, like, one quick comment, because I want to hear what the female panelists have to say about this. But like, this to me is why it's hard for the right wing to recruit, like this and like the kind of goofy 4chan racism. But I think for men in business, that's not even that big of a deal. Like, everyone goes back and forth. But it's just, it's this stupid shit. Like, just when you let the right start talking, it's not like, okay, we want to seal the border and lock up criminals. It's like, yeah, you know, I really think that taking a pin-up shot for your man is a kind of softcore pornography and people should go to jail for it. That was one of the things that I woke up and saw today. And it was like, you know, people are not going to respond positively to that. And someone commented under that, women shouldn't vote at all, and linked that petition for repeal the 19th, which now
is that Shamika? Was that signatures. Shamika?
Yeah, Shamika started it. Yeah. But I mean, just like all that stuff, like, you know, in the past month, like multiple 100,000 follower plus accounts on Twitter and other social media have advocated for like banning all porn and all women's erotica, surrogacy, all gay people from adopting, calendars, women voting. You know, I mean, at a certain point, people contraception, abortion after 5 weeks. At a certain point, people are just going to say these people are nuts. They're like social justice warriors, but with Jesus thrown into the game. I mean, I don't want to wear a burqa, you know, to my job at McKinsey. So that's a problem for the GOP.
Well,
all right.
Well, I it seems like I'm going to be the downer here. I'm kind of thinking about there's going to be political. All of you are right. There's going to be political craziness, all this other stuff. There's going to be Eric Adams and Brandon Johnson are going to continue their war on who's the craziest mayor in the country. You know, Sue Hyundai, you know, blame January 6th for all the crime in the cities, that kind of stuff. But I think Shamika was right when she said something's going to happen. I'm hoping I'm wrong, but I see we're distracted by all the race and gender stuff. You got Israel, Hamas. You got all the crazy kids losing their minds, shutting down the airport. You know, I don't even see, if you look at the news, no one even talked about the number of times our servicemen have been attacked since October 7th. It's like 7 at last count. So I think one of the, you know, the China, Iran, Russia types are going to say this is the perfect time to attack them because they're so distracted. So I think that, you know, there's going to be some attack or some attempt. Hopefully they fail, but there's going to be some major attack is what I'm thinking will happen in 2024. And all those other things that you're saying are right. But if that happens, that kind of changes the reaction to it. Look at what happened at 9/11, right? We were all at each other's throat. And then I don't think it's going to make it unified, but it will shift the reactions and the things that people are focused on. So I hope I'm wrong, but I think there's some bad actor out there planning something for 2024.
What about Calendar Gate, Charles?
Focus on the important stuff, big guy.
But, well, my favorite response to that was, so Riley was on the cover, right? And somebody said something about, you know, I used to like her, and then she went out in public in a bathing suit, like she didn't swim in swimsuits, right?
Yeah,
it's different for anybody else putting on a swimsuit, but she was always in one, so that was funny.
That was the funniest comment, yeah. Like that. Now the original comment I think might have been a satire. That's from like a JV and lesbian account, like Hilaria Brighton, PhD, women's studies.
Oh, okay.
But like all of these conservative women, and like we probably don't have time for this, but there's this whole trad wife thing that's been going on lately. And like, if you've ever been in like a working class couple where you own some land, it's not just your wife like sensually bending over the stove and filming, like, you know. But there's this whole genre that exists now that people have decided they want. And there are a lot of women providing that imagery. So under this thread, like a lot of people were seriously saying things like, yeah, a swimsuit in public, that's never okay. That's only for your husband to see. And it went on for quite a while. And Riley Gaines, of course, was a competitive, almost Olympic level swimmer. So yeah, I think a lot of people will look at that and just say, all these people are nuts. I mean, a lot of people on the calendar were just wearing clothes. The real question, not even outreach to Shamika, racism, that's what I call it.
Well, I love the whole trad wife thing. I did an article about that. And the most surprising thing is the link to white supremacy. So if you're a trad wife, you're promoting white supremacy. Like, it's crazy.
In Japan and Nigeria, the traditional job for women, just strictly OnlyFans. Like running homes that didn't happen. White people invented marriage. White people, in fact, invented the two sexes. I'm obviously kidding. But the funny thing is that, like, for a couple seconds even here, I thought people thought it might be serious. The whole idea of a lot of the post-colonial stuff is, like, traditional relationships came to Africa and Asia from Europe, which is crazy. But I think a lot of people, mostly whites with purple hair, believe it. So that ties into the whole trad wife thing. The one thing that sticks out for me about the online trad wife phenomenon, though, like I said, like I was being glib, but it's not just like the idea that you want your wife to do somewhat more of the home chores and you make more money. It's like this whole pantomime. Like, have you guys ever seen Ballerina Farms? Okay, there are a bunch of these accounts. I thought about writing an article about this as well, actually. But I mean, like, there are a bunch of these trad accounts. And like, I like to cook and I'm pretty good at it. And I was watching some of these Ballerina Farms videos. This is like the first trad couple. Like, they present themselves as kind of homesteaders that carved out a little space in the woods. And I was just watching this and I noticed that the stove cost $47,000. Mm-hmm. It's like the highest line Blue Star stove. So like the baby sling the woman was wearing, like Jane, who some of you guys have met, like looked that up because she was curious and it was like $850. So there's this whole image of like, I'm going to be a gourmet chef. I'm always going to be there sexually. Like the home will come together easily, like all of this, but it's almost a fetish for dudes. So right. Like, I mean, someone the other day said pretty soon there'll be a trad wife category on Pornhub. You know, I haven't personally verified whether or not this is true, but like all these women were responding like there already is. Like it's like the number five thing that guys are looking up. Like first she made me biscuits. So I think that's interesting, that desire for the old relationships, but kind of like a glib, you know, hard R version of it where nobody actually works.
But did you say what your thoughts were, Shamika?
I mean, so for the last few days, I opened Twitter, hadn't been on like for a long periods of time, but I kept seeing people talk about this conservative calendar, and I was scared to see it because I was wondering, you know, is Anna Braga on there? Like, I know that Anna is like very risque, you know? And so I'm thinking, oh, she must have like gone far, far off the deep end. So I just really thought it was going to be some tits and ass. I mean, I really did. Mm-hmm. And so when Will told me to look on his page, because I hadn't seen the calendar at all I saw were the arguments and the mm-hmm. Twitter spaces. And I'm thinking this thing must be really bad, you know. And I go to his page and I'm like, this has got to be a joke. I know this is not what has caused all of these arguments that I've been seeing. Like, I thought it was really, really silly because they were dressed. But the thing is, they aren't conservative because, you know, if you go and look up women from the 50s or the 40s or whatever, they weren't dressed like this, showing their thighs or their ankles. And I'm the whole they're not Christian, they're not conservative. I just could not believe that people have been arguing about that for a few days. And when I saw the calendar, it was disappointing. I mean, if you're going to be ridiculed, you got to be ridiculed going all the way out. Like, give me the cover of my book or something. Give me something.
You but see, we're not, that's like,
that's got like Brandy Love in Christmas, there. Like, Will. I mean, there are a lot of conservative porn stars.
Yes. I'm telling you, Anna is very risque. So I just knew she was on there.
So I'm looking at it right now. Okay. I was about to say they couldn't have had one black girl, but Kim kind of fades.
Oh my God, that's what you're looking
at. Yeah, they got
Kim. Kim kind of fades in. They got the flash real light.
Right.
Looks white from first glance, but okay.
Right.
They did have
hair is white.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But they, Josie, the redheaded libertarian, I saw the argument because behind her there was a cross. Mm-hmm. And so people were like, oh, it's blasphemy and she's ridiculing, you know, Jesus, I guess, because she has a pie and a cross behind her.
Well,
the pie.
Go ahead.
I'm confused.
Because she's holding the pie and she has the heel and her, you know, her leg is up and it's, you know, kind of, I guess, a cute, sexy look. But then there's the cross behind her. So they're like, she's ridiculing Christ is what.
Well, there's no problem with Twitter, though, Chrissy. Couldn't they have just not looked at the calendar? Because the only thing I've seen
Jesus
was
want
the
us to be boring?
Jesus real?
Boring.
No, but I mean, like, actually, that's a very good question, like, from Shamika. Like, there's no Christian prohibition against attractive looking wives baking.
Right.
I mean, like the whole idea, like there are Christian, like, I mean, I've read the Christian teachings, which have some value, especially for men. But I mean, like there is the idea that you should control what's described by like. No, but I mean, like, that you're supposed to control, I think Aquinas calls it extreme lust. But, like, the idea that if someone baking pies is going to cause you extreme lust, like, that's crazy. That's, like, Burka-level logic. I mean, it's literally, like, look at this bitch showing that ankle. Like, the comment you guys made, it's an attractive woman. And, like, the only thing that's unrealistic is the heels. You know, like, baking a pie for her guy or her family. And there's her Catholic cross in the background. She's Catholic. Like, getting offended about that is objectively insane. You would have to be bothered. Like, so if by lust, you don't mean what even the saints meant, you meant like any sexual attraction, and you set the bar at that level, like cooking for your family, you would have to be offended by almost everything. Like almost every movie would be off limits to you, which gets into some other crazy conservative stuff, like complaining about Disney movies, not just as woke, but as too sexual and so on. And I think if you're like pitching Mickey Mouse as something that's reminiscent of porn, a lot of people are going to look at you and say, you know, bro, there might be a problem on your end. And I think that's pretty accurate here. Like if you can't control your lusts enough not to harass like women cooking in restaurants, like you gotta work on that, dog. That's not a normal reaction. So, I mean, I think that's how I feel about a lot of this.
I think like when Shamika brought up the calendar gate saying we were missing the biggest story, I think you all are missing the biggest story. I think it's going to be fun to watch what I call the reparations whack-a-mole. Everybody it's like you stick your left foot in, you take your left foot out, right? It's like, we demand that blacks be made whole, reparation. And then they quietly like, well, we don't really know how to money for that. You see San Francisco pull back, but as San Francisco pull back, the governor of New York is saying, we're going to have an exploratory committee. So they're going to keep, Christie's thinking they're losing the black vote, but they're going to dangle it out there with the reparations talk. So that's something else I expect to see more of in 2024. More cities, municipalities, states, and, you know, national figures on the left talking about how we have to have reparations, but they don't mean it. Now, you can have an argument about whether we never reparations or not. These people don't mean it.
Right. They're going to have a lot of exploratory committees, and that's it.
Right. We'll get, November 11th, we'll make a decision on that.
Exactly.
Well, this has been fun, and I do appreciate you all, and it was a great pleasure having you back for this very short amount of time, Shamika. Don't be a stranger. Don't make it the last time. And
I have one complaint.
Okay, go ahead.
I think when I came on, I should have come on to like some type of crowd cheering or applause.
Well, I thought I had your theme music queued up. It wasn't playing?
No, I didn't hear it at all.
Well, you just have to come back now so we can queue it up the next time.
All right. Thank y'all for having me. This was fun. I missed y'all.
Yeah, it's good to have you. It's good to see you. What do you say, Will?
Oh, I said I miss you. Miss Shamika too.
Yeah,
she was one of the cornerstones of the show. The person I was constantly asked about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we love Christy, but I mean, but she gonna run for office and leave us too. They all leave us. Will, they all leave us. But I hope you all have a wonderful 24 and a great New Year's Eve and have fun and see you on the other side.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Good to see you, Shamika.
Good to see you. Hi, everybody. Bye. Happy New Year.
Yes.
Happy New Year. You can't fuck with me. I got a country to save. God bless the US of A. Land of the free and a home of the brave. God get all of the praise. I got a country to save. Cause I'm Patriot J and I'm saving a day.